Well, thank you very, very much for coming to the gospel meeting tonight. Great to see so many people out on the last night of this gospel series. And that really is the background for what I want to say next. It's very appropriate that we just take a moment to thank the assembly here in Sarnia for holding this series, for inviting Mr. Hunt and I here to preach the gospel. It's something that we really love to do, and we've loved being here with you. Appreciate all the prayers and all the hospitality, all the kindness that the saints have shown. I have to tell you, I really enjoy coming to Sarnia. And I know, you know, my wife says, well, you just say that everywhere, but that's not really true. I mean it. I do love to come here and really appreciate being with you all and hope that God will be with you until we meet again. Now, one other thing. This is the last night of the gospel series. But do remember that the gospel is preached, Lord willing, in this hall every Sunday night. And so if you have an opportunity to come by on Sunday nights, you'd be made very, very welcome, even if there's no special meetings going on. The preaching of the gospel is good for everybody. Come and listen to it, and it'll do good for your soul, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. The gospel is wonderful news, and it can be a real blessing to everybody's heart. Now, before we open the scriptures together, let's just bow our heads in reverence to God. Let us pray. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come thankfully tonight. We thank thee for these gospel hymns that we have been singing together, hymns that have pointed us to the Savior and to his great salvation. We thank thee that we can sing salvation, salvation vast, full, and free through the precious blood of the Son of God who is slain on Calvary. Lord, tonight we pray that we might faithfully and warmly present the Lord Jesus as the only Savior of sinners, that we might stress the value of not only his person, but of his work, and the value of his precious blood that cleanses from all sin. And so, Lord, give us help tonight, we pray. We thank thee for this gospel series and for the help of God in it. And pray, Lord, that as a result of it, that the Lord Jesus will have been glorified and saints encouraged. And Lord, we would love to hear of sinners who have been saved by the grace of God. And so, Lord, we commend this meeting now before us to thee. In the Savior's name, amen. Now, I want to read with you in the Old Testament of your Bible, in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. When I was a young preacher, I was preaching with an older man, and we came to the end of a gospel series, and I said to him, "What do you preach on the last night of a gospel series?" And he stopped and thought for a minute. He said, "Well," he said, "this is what I advise." He said, "Preach what you preached the first night." He said, "Just preach Christ." And I think that's good advice. And so we're not here to gin up some special message or to try and work people into some great emotional state. We're just here to do what we have tried to do every single night, to point out people's need and to point out God's remedy in the person of his Son and to stress your responsibility to trust this Savior even tonight. Isaiah chapter 45 then, and we're going to read from verse 22. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 22. "Look unto me." Now, before I read any further in the verse, we ought to explain who the "me" is that we ought to look to. Is it Mr. Hunt over here in the front? Is it Mr. Shutt up here on the pulpit? Not at all. Because if you'll just lift your eye to the end of verse 21, the verse before it, this is where we discover the subject of this great statement. "There is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me." And so it is this God, it is this Savior that is calling sinners in this verse, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." And I want to read verse 23. "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me," I want you to notice this because I'm not going to finish my message in God's will until I've talked about this sentence, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. I think it's pretty easy that the subject of this verse is being saved. And that's why I chose the hymns that I did, and that's why we sing them together, and that's why the message tonight is the same message that we preach every night. Sometimes when we tell people that we're going to be in a place for 3 weeks and they come out to one meeting and they say, what are you going to preach about tomorrow night? I always just get a little twinkle in my eye and say, I'm going to preach about the same thing I preached on tonight. And a lot of people look at you and they say, you mean you're going to preach the same thing every night for 3 weeks? Absolutely. Because there is no greater message in the world. There is no message that is more needed by sinners. And by the way, there's no message that's more encouraging to saints than this wonderful message of God's salvation. I just have a few points I want to make tonight about this message. I want to speak, first of all, about the seriousness of this message. Because we have read together God's word to us tonight. Look unto me and be ye saved. You see, the idea of being saved points us to a very simple reality. We are in danger. I recently, I've been reading some books about this area, Michigan, Ontario, the Great Lakes, and I think you know by now I like history, and I just like reading books about things that happened in the past, and one of the things that Michigan and Ontario share, of course, is Lake Huron. I was reading a book recently about some of the shipwrecks that have taken place on the shores of both our countries. I didn't know this before, but there are actually thousands. I would have guessed maybe hundreds, but there are actually thousands of ships between the U.S. and Canada on the bottom of Lake Huron. And while there are only estimates of how many people have perished, it's a vast number. And for any of you who have lived here any amount of time at all, you know the story. There are fierce storms. Many of us have witnessed them. And in the days of wooden sailing ships and not modern communication, it was a very common thing that there would be sailors out on Lake Huron and they would find themselves in the direst peril. And of course, in those days, you know, the Coast Guard, they just had wooden rowboats. And, you know, there were some very brave men. Some of these stories, I tell you, they thrill you. Realize that maybe we're kind of soft today. Men who would pull on their Mackinaws and jump into the boat and row into the teeth of a raging storm with one thing in mind. You know what it is? So that people might be saved. You know, I don't know if I'm brave enough to do that, but I hope I'll do my little part in this regard. That tonight in this meeting, there are men and women. And there are boys and girls. And whether you recognize this or not, or whether you will admit it to yourself or to God, listen, you are in great peril tonight because of your sin. You're not in peril because of your brother's sin. You're not in peril because of the Sunday school kid's sin that were out on Friday night. You're in peril because of your own sin. God will hold you personally accountable for what you've done. And listen, friend, I would love to not have to preach this kind of a message, but listen. Over every unforgiven soul tonight, there looms the great dark cloud of God's implacable wrath. Let me tell you, you are in danger tonight if you're not saved. And the message that you need tonight is not some churchy message about giving your heart to Jesus or something like that. You know what you need to hear? You need to hear that you can be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's here tonight to save you. He wants to save you more than we want you to be saved. I dare say if you're not saved tonight, he wants you to be saved far more than you want to be saved. But I tell you, there's a Savior. And he longs to be your Savior. He recognizes the seriousness of the wrath that is coming. Actually, did you know that the one who wants to be the Savior tonight in a future day is actually going to be the judge? He knows the fury that will be unleashed against your soul. He knows the terrible blackness and the darkness into which sinners will be thrust, because he experienced the same at Calvary. Dear friend, tonight you are in danger. This is a serious message. Listen to the words of God. May God grant that they may be fastened on your heart tonight. Look unto me and be ye saved. I want to tell you not only about the seriousness of the message, but I want to tell you about the source of this wonderful message. Where does this message of salvation come from? You know, I'm getting older now, but if you're like me, when you're a kid, you have a lot of things you want to do. And because I'm a reader and I used to read all kinds of adventure books, when I was 18 or 20, I had a list as long as your arm of all the things I wanted to do. I wanted to sail around the world. I wanted to climb Mount Everest. I wanted to shoot crocodiles in the Nile or whatever you do there. I don't know. But whatever it is, I had a lot of adventures that I wanted to do. And as you get older, that list begins to constrict. I don't have time to sail around the world. I'm not strong enough to climb Mount Everest. And I don't know. We'll see about the Nile. But nonetheless, there's something I've always wanted to do, and maybe I'll still do it. You know, cutting through the United States is a great big river. It's called the Mississippi River. And a lot of you probably have seen it or heard about it or maybe crossed it yourself. And for most of its course, it is a big river. It's almost a mile wide, a mighty, vast, sweeping river that cuts north to south through the center of the United States. But there's something I want to do. Because away up north in Minnesota, almost to either Ontario or Saskatchewan, I can't remember where, I think it's still Ontario over there, long ways from here, I think it's still Ontario, just south of there, is a place called Lake Itasca. It's a nothing lake. It's hardly bigger than the lot here that the Gospel Hall is on. You know what that lake is? It's the source of the Mississippi River. And you know, if you were to trace that river, starting in New Orleans and going for 1,000 miles or more north, as that river narrows and narrows and narrows, finally, they say there's a spot. I guess you have to use a couple of strategically placed rocks, but they say you could just about jump over the Mississippi River all the way back to its source. You know, when I think about that, and that's just a simple little illustration to hold your interest, but I think about the source of the gospel. You know, there's a lot of things, and you trace them back, and you find out that their beginnings are very small and very humble. But I want to tell you about the gospel. It's exactly the opposite. Because as I trace the gospel upward and backward, do you know where it leads me? It leads into an ever-growing greatness. It actually leads to the very heart of God. I love to tell people about the source of the gospel. Many of my friends who come into gospel meetings for the first time, you know, they assume that this message is just peculiar to our church or our religion. That this is something that Mr. Hunt and I learned in a seminary or something we've cooked up, and that this is good advice from our philosophy, and we hope that this will make you better spouses or better citizens or better people. No, 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 no. Tonight, we have come with a message from heaven. Our job is not to invent the message. Our job is not to embellish the message. Our job is to faithfully deliver a message. A message of salvation and life for you that comes from the God of heaven. You see, the reason I'm saying that is this. After 3 weeks of listening to Mr. Hunt and I preach, you pretty well got us figured out. You probably kind of figured out our style, and you know who waves their arms and who thumps on their Bible, and you know a lot about what goes on physically here. You know what I wish tonight? I wish that you would recognize that for 3 weeks, it's not just us speaking, but actually it's been God that's trying to speak to your heart. You know, when you get to heaven, or when you stand before God, when you stand before God, the issue is not going to be that you rejected the words of Mr. Hunter, Mr. Shutt. I want to tell you something, it's far more serious. To turn away from the gospel, to turn away from the Savior, is to reject a message of salvation and life that comes from God himself. Are you willing to carry that responsibility tonight? Well, whether you are or not, those are the facts. God is speaking to us through His Word. It is He that says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." The seriousness of the message is that we are perishing and we need to be saved. The source of the message is the God of heaven who lovingly is calling to you to receive Him and to receive His Son. I want to tell you just a little bit about the scope of the gospel, because we have read a very interesting phrase in the middle of this text. Listen to it again, Isaiah 45 and verse 22. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the spiritual people in the earth." Is that okay? No, I got one friend shaking his head. No? Good. Because that's not what it says. This is a message that embraces everyone. We sometimes say from John 3:16 that this is a whosoever message. A few years ago, my wife Debbie and I were attending a wedding. I had to take a wedding in Los Angeles. And, you know, that's not a real tough assignment, and every preacher wants to hear the southward call. And so she and I went to California, went to Los Angeles, and while we were there, somebody said, "You know what you ought to do? You ought to go to Beverly Hills." Now, I knew what the Beverly Hillbillies was, but I didn't know much about Beverly Hills. So anyway, one day we decided we're going to go to Beverly Hills. And I think it's Wilshire Boulevard or something that goes through the center there. I'm not sure. But I tell you what, Debbie and I saw some amazing things. One of the things we saw was a car accident between a Ferrari and a Lamborghini. It brought great joy to my heart. But what we saw that absolutely amazed us was something else. We saw stores that didn't have a handle on the outside of the door. You ever see a place like that? Don't think they have too many of those in Sarnia. But they do in Beverly Hills. You know what? You know why that is? Well, these are really exclusive stores. These are stores that cater to the fabulously wealthy. They cater to the movie stars. They cater to the musicians and the television anchors and all of the sorts of people that live in a strata of society that's far above us. So if they want to come, they call ahead and say, "My limousine will be pulling up at 11:30 in the morning," and there's somebody inside, and they open the door. But for the ordinary guy, that's me. That's not shopping for me. It's not for me. The door is closed. And I'm just barely smart enough to understand that whoever it is that they're welcoming in, I'm not one of them. You know, it is a great thing to preach the gospel. I've preached the gospel in North America. I've preached it in Europe. I've preached the gospel north and south and preached to thousands of people. Sometimes I've preached to real small groups, my wife. And other times I've preached, I think, to thousands. But you know something? I've never had to look out at an audience and wonder who the gospel was for. I tell you, if I had to wonder about that, David, I think I'd quit. How could you preach if it was for him, but not for him? If it was for her, and not for her? What a dreadful thing that would be. But tonight, God has committed to us a message that is absolutely universal. It is a message for all. Listen, I don't care if you're 5 or 15, or if you're 75 or 85, at any place in between. I don't care if you're a man or a woman, whether you're white or you're black or whatever ethnicity. I don't care whether you have money in the bank or that you're ready for a debtor's prison. I don't care if you've got a PhD or you never made it out of grade school. I got a message for you tonight, and that is this. God wants to save you, and He gave His Son for you, and tonight He wants to be your Savior. Could there be anything more encouraging than that? There's nobody in this room that's beyond God's grace. You know, I've met people and they've said to me, "Well, you don't know what my history is." I said, "I'm not interested. This is what I know. God is looking for you and He wants to save you." And so tonight, let us remember again, I'm laboring my points, but I want you to remember them. The seriousness of the message: we need to be saved. The source of the message: it's coming from God Himself to you, His heart to your heart. The scope of the gospel: It embraces everyone tonight. May God help you to enter into the whosoever, because whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let me tell you, fourthly, about the Savior of the gospel. You know, this is the point that every preacher can't wait to get to. Because as necessary as it is to talk about the danger of our sin and the looming judgment of God that lies ahead of every Christless life, it's a wonderful thing to turn and see that at the very heart of this message of salvation is a Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I love to think of those shepherds. This is something I'm just a sentimental, I don't know, I'm a simple person. And I like to think about those shepherds that day watching their sheep outside the city of Bethlehem. Remember what the angel said? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know, that was a poor little village, that place of Bethlehem. I'm pretty sure that folks would have been happy if somebody had, you know, had brought in an economist so everybody had more money. Maybe it would have been nice if God had sent down a comedian so everybody could have laughed and felt better about themselves. Might have been nice if God had sent down a high school teacher so that people were lifted out of their ignorance and all of that. But you know something? The greatest need in Bethlehem that night is the exact same need that is in Sarnia tonight. Men need salvation. And so God sent a Savior. What a good God he is. And what a great Savior he sent, because he sent us his own Son. You know, I just want to go over some things about the Lord Jesus with you. Just really simple. So far as the Savior and his work at Calvary is concerned, I want to tell you that he came to be our substitute at the cross. All of you boys and girls that are in school likely have experienced this. But there are times when the regular teacher is unavailable. I remember that when I was in junior high school, there was we hated it when the regular teacher was gone, because there was this very mean old lady who came in, and she came from an era where, well, I'll just tell you what she did. She used to march around the classroom with a yardstick, and if she saw any infractions or imagined infractions in her fevered mind, she had no struggles applying that to your knuckles or the side of your head. I mean, today she would be put in jail for abusing children, but that was a long time ago, and that's how she rolled. But, you know, we weren't looking for a substitute. But I'll tell you something. You and I need a substitute tonight. You see, if God were to take us in our sins, and if God were to pour his punishment upon us, punishment that we deserve because of our sin and our disobedience, I want to tell you that would mean being put in hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. You know what I'd like? I'd like somebody to do that for me. I'd like somebody to take my place. I'd like somebody to, well, let's just use the word, I'd like somebody to be my substitute. Can I tell you tonight, that's part of the great message of the gospel? You know, every person here that's saved, there's a verse that they all love. And it's a verse about substitution. It's just this. The Son of God loved me, and he gave himself as a substitute for me. Wonderful truth. You know, I'm never going to be in hell. Do you know why? Because God unleashed his wrath upon his own Son. He's my substitute tonight. I'll tell you something else. He's my substitute because he's my sin bearer. There's a wonderful text in the Bible that just says this: who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I like that. You see, people who go to hell are there because of their sins. That burden of sin has never been lifted. That burden of guilt has never been relieved. That load of iniquity has never been forgiven. They're there for themselves. And they'll bear that sin for eternity. And they'll bear the judgment of God for eternity. I want to tell you tonight, this is terrific news. There was somebody who came to the cross, and he bore the burden in my place. You know, I was just saved when I was 8 years old. And I don't know how big the burden of my sin was, but I'm pretty sure it's bigger than I've ever calculated, because you can do a lot of sin in 8 years. But you know, there's folks here that are 8, and there's folks here that are 80, and everywhere in between. Listen, at the cross, there was a Savior, the just as the substitute for the unjust. And upon himself, he took the sin of the world. And because he bore that sin, because he stood in the place of guilty sinners, God just poured out his wrath on him, the sin bearer, the substitute. Let me give you the last S. Because of all that, he can be the Savior. Listen to what he said as his work on the cross was finished. He said, "It is finished." Wonderful. It's all done. Everything that God requires, finished in the work of Christ. Hey, by the way, I have a question for you. If God is satisfied, what else do you need? Really now, I mean, let's just talk in real terms. If it's finished, if God is satisfied, and oh, by the way, God is satisfied. You know how I know that? He raised him from the dead. You know, we have a living Savior tonight. We don't go over to the Middle East to look at Moses' tomb. We don't go to Mecca to look at Muhammad's tomb. No. We have what is unique to Christianity. We have a living Savior. Why? Because God is satisfied. Are you satisfied tonight? I want to tell you, if you're not satisfied, there's nothing else that will ever satisfy you. But if you trust the Lord Jesus, I tell you, he'll satisfy the need of your soul. He'll satisfy your longing heart. He'll satisfy you for eternity. What a wonderful Savior we have, the Savior of the gospel. Let me tell you about the simplicity of the gospel. I've just got a minute or two. You know, this verse just says this, look to me and be saved. Does it say anything about weeping? I don't see it there. Does it say anything about struggling? Guess not, I don't see that there. Does it say anything about waiting? I don't see that there. Does it say you have to talk to the preacher or join a church or make a contribution or clean up your life? I mean, it just says, look, depend. Depend on me and you'll be saved. And that's all we've got to offer tonight. You know, some people think that complicating the gospel somehow makes it more majestic and greater. I think that's absolute nonsense. The gospel is a simple message for simple people, and I'm one of them. Just simple enough to know I was a guilty sinner. But Jesus died for me, and I'm depending on him and on his blood. I'm depending on the one who died at Calvary and was raised again. It's all I got. It's all I need. Because to have him is to have everything. To miss him, oh dear, the world's most awful loss. I told you I was going to preach about the last sentence, 30 seconds. We've talked about the seriousness of the message. We're lost and perishing and need to be saved. We talked about the source of the message. It comes from God himself. I hope you're listening to him. We talked about the scope of the gospel. It's for whosoever. We talked about the Savior of the gospel, the Lord Jesus, and about the simplicity of the gospel. He just wants you to take his own son and receive him. Let me tell you about the solemnity of the gospel, just really quick before I close. Because verse number 23 says that unto me every knee shall bow. You may not choose to submit to God and to his claims in this life. But I want to assure you of something. I'm not going to shout and I'm not going to wave my arms and I'm not going to be melodramatic. I'm just going to speak plain and straight. If you don't bow to him now, there is a day coming when every knee shall bow. You may think that you are the Lord of your life right now. You may be thinking that you are in charge of things now. There's a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for you, it will be too late. May God help you tonight, just at the close of my little message. And as we prepare to hear Mr. Hunt, remember this word from God to you. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other.